Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air.
Welcome to WPR Rebuttal, covering the sides of the story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio, bringing narratives UW System Board of Regents won't allow, and shedding a light and perspectives the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I'm Senator JPO, your host. Our call-in number is 929-477-3965. We are counting down the top discus discussions from the WPR.org articles and their discussion threads. And I have a file of all the posts and all the discussions that have transpired since WPR Rebuttal has been active in the comments section. So some of the articles are from early spring. Now, in the title, I have from January through June 2016 for part one of our special. But really, a lot of it is due to the two-week commenting period. A lot of the articles from like January and February won't actually have comments from us from the prior year, just because when we became active in the comments section was around mid-March, and then when we launched the show it was towards the end of April. So really, not much really happened in WPR from like January through February, because with the spring primaries, that's when we really jumped into action and gave additional insight. So notice that as we get into the comments right now. But as you, the listener, hear stuff that you want to comment upon, you can call us at 929-477-3965. So first up is, when obsolete Hillary Clinton was trying to campaign in Milwaukee, and she sent her daughter Kelsey the campaign in her stead. Well, that was a big mistake, because really Clinton lost Wisconsin, not only in the primaries to Bernie Sanders, but she also lost when it really counted in November 2016. Yes, Donald Trump definitely won Wisconsin by a slim 24,000 votes. And it just so happens that Trump campaigned in person more in Wisconsin than Clinton did, and that was enough to sway the votes, because all those who complain about gerrymandering have no excuse when it comes to the federal election, because really you can't gerrymander Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa. You cannot go and blur those boundaries. Oh, let's say Illinois and Michigan too are adjacent states, but you would have to change the boundaries of those states in order to like gerrymander the outcome. But if you did that, then guess what? Minnesota would have lost too. I mean, if Trump would have won Minnesota, and the Democrats would have lost Minnesota as well, if you had gone and expanded Wisconsin's boundary in Minnesota, and maybe the margin of victory in Wisconsin would have been narrower. But really, the complaints of gerrymandering can only apply to the districts within the states. They don't really apply between the states, just within a state and not between. So, let's see. Our comment from March 27th, 2016 was, because it took us a while to launch our Dairyland-oriented news site, we're going over some newsworthy Wisconsin events from the past month. Backlog will quickly be filled, leaving us a WPR Rebuttal available to discuss the latest happenings highlighted by our competitors at Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, well, really what happens is WPR identifies the news, and WPR Rebuttal responds to it. It highlights information that WPR missed and gives a more complete picture of what's going on. So this guy's name is Chuck Kornbach. He is from Wisconsin Public Radio, and he wrote an article, and he quoted Kelsey Clinton about the same inane talking points and pabulum that pretty much trying to toe the Democrat line, but really Trump secret supporters had enough of that. The black population in Milwaukee largely rejected Clinton in favor of Sanders, and then enough of those Sanders supporters were disenfranchised by Clinton being the nominee that they just did not vote, period. Because I actually had people tell my radio show, WPR Rebuttal, as much, even as pollsters struggled to explain it themselves. Well, that's par for the United States in the aggregate, because if you go to Fact Finder from the Census Bureau, and they'll bring up the American Community Survey, and according to the 2014 ACS, a high minority neighborhood should have more than 16 people of color to either side of Kelsey within a photo op. But no, so few people turned out to that Clinton campaign office that it was just a harbinger of things to come when Trump would win Wisconsin. And it's just one of those things where even the early turnout of Milwaukee and Madison voters, that didn't really help in the end, because all it did is the time shifted forward the same number of votes. And I personally voted via absentee ballot to vote early, but I was on the other side politically. But the whole point is that for all the early voting that occurred in the urban centers, there was diffuse early voting amongst the rural and suburban areas. And obviously, we more than countervailed that. We won the election, so hurrah for that. Oh. So going on to the next notable discussion thread, I'm literally paging up from my history of comments here. Oh, okay. Here's a nice tidbit. So there's an article from late March, it was like March 28th, and WPR was talking about how federal officials wanted to have additional protection against exposure to silica dust. And WPR Rebuttal helpfully reminded the writers and the readers that NIOSH informs the United States Department of Labor. Okay, so NIOSH is like the scientific research arm that goes and identifies what the most hazardous thresholds of exposure are. But it's up to the Department of Labor to actually make industry health rules that say you cannot have any exposure higher than this many parts per million. So that is a helpful tidbit. Not necessarily the most exciting observation, but it explains why NIOSH might say one thing, but the Department of Labor might not follow suit. Okay, so being in early April here, Milwaukee protesters closed streets outside Republican Town Hall. Well, wasn't that another shade of things to come? Because, yeah, they were sore losers even back then. They suspected that, yes, Donald Trump could win. He could beat the Democrat nominee, whether that ended up as who they wanted, Bernie Sanders, or who actually was appointed, Hillary Clinton. Well, it didn't matter because Donald Trump whooped them. Hurrah. And here's what WPR Rebuttal wrote in response to that article. Those protesters should vetch out the human resource staff to those organizations, because it's those HR people who refuse to hire them for better paying work. When it's all said and done, having a new president won't change an everyday laborer's employee bills. And you can talk about people who had extreme difficulty getting hired for anything full-time, even for manual labor, because that boils down to resistance from hiring managers. Not due to any federal, state, or local laws. It's all in the minds of those human resources hacks. In other words, the problem is office politics, not public politics. Okay, so moving on to another article. Oh, here. Yeah. Okay, so protester etiquette. Protesters better not rip a flyer out of anyone's hands, because according to police, that can be felony robbery. Now, even if the district attorney dismisses that charge, It's just why inconvenience yourself? Don't rip anything out of anyone's hands. And certainly don't talk back to the police because, hey, that's a perfect excuse to get tased. Okay. What's another good thread? April. Yeah, okay. So Supreme Court of Wisconsin election results. Yeah, what is that? Rebecca Bradley won the Supreme Court Wisconsin race in early April 2016. And she got a lot of flack for, I guess, injecting her religious sympathies into her votes. But really, secular humanism is like anti-religion, so it kind of balanced each other out. And really, because the justices are elected, they should reflect the sentiments of their constituents. And just so happens, that's exactly what happened. And you cannot blame gerrymandering on that because that was a Wisconsin-wide vote. It wasn't only limited to a certain district. You would literally need to change the boundaries of Wisconsin itself in order to so-called gerrymander the results. And that goes for Rebecca Bradley winning Supreme Court. That goes for Ron Johnson winning the U.S. Senate. That goes for Donald Trump winning the presidency, and so on. Gerrymandering just does not hold water as an excuse for that outcome. It was a legitimately democratic outcome, so hurrah for that. What's another article? Scrolling up through the comments. Northwestern Wisconsin School District, Lake Holcomb, could close if the operating referendum fails. Well, good news for Lake Holcomb School District. The operating referendum passed, so it'll remain open. But, boom. Oh, it was funny. Okay, so yeah. This one guy was incredulous that Donald Trump could win. But remember, it was back in April. But yeah, Donald Trump won. So that guy who was like saying on April 5th this year, would you like to wager about how Trump will soon rule the world in his words? Well, no. He was obviously being sarcastic. All I said was that UW Milwaukee shall meet the same fate as the Lake Holcomb School District, whereby Republican machinations, consumers voting with their feet, and or some combination thereof. Mark my words. And this stupid guy, Jay Hudson, might not be his real name, but that's his user handle, was trying to draw a false equivalence in that all I was saying is that, you know, UW-Milwaukee will go and be financially, fiscally impoverished like the school district was. And he automatically brought Trump into it. Well, the funny thing is, you know, the more people just injected Trump into conversations where he's not mentioned, then the more support they got in the end. And he won. Hooray. So Jay Hudson, eat your words, because Donald Trump is now president-elect. And, here's what I said in response to Jay Hudson back then, even before we all found out that Mr. Trump won. Number one, Senator JPO is not wagering, because I had wagered my future on a college degree for a better future, and that wager not pay off. So as a rule of thumb, I stopped wagering after that. But, hey, if I had wagered on if I had bet on who's going to win the election, wow. Yeah, I'd be rolling in the dough. But really, the people who I would bet against would never pay up anyway because they're all slime balls, so whatever. The second comment to Jade Hudson was, I don't care if you dislike my lawful terms of service compliant upvoting my own comments. Because if Discus had a problem with it, they'd prohibit it. But no, Discus allows it, so Discus actually expects people to go and game the system in that way. And if you look at WPR, my comments have steadily risen to the top of the comment pile in practically every article thread because the WPR, and actually Discus especially, the Discus comment system lifts up those comments of the users who game the system, and it updates it in real time. Even if you archive a web page, the Discus loader will actually go and shift the comments around based on what happened in terms of commenting activity on other articles to affect the reputation of a commenter. It'll actually raise up the better commenters who gained reputation points. So, moving on here. Oh, another great thread. Again, this is from early April. It's just a lot of good material. By the way, if you want to call in and you're listening right now, our number is 929-477-3965. WPR rebuttal. If you call in, you'll be speaking with Senator JPO. Okay, so from WPR article, Walsall students debate political platforms. Okay, so I had quoted. Okay, so if we had more people who are able to speak a second language, more jobs can happen. Said this really naive high school student quoting the article. And my response was, well, really, huh? If you're such a knowledgeable globalist, and tell me how those jobs can happen. Because they don't happen. Jobs don't just happen. You need sufficient consumer demand in a non-saturated market. You need a profitable means of humanely transforming human labor into saleable products and services. And you need to make sure you have an alternate job lineup in case your business goes belly up. Even then, main jobs created are contractually limited in term, such as temporary seasonal, and therefore provide neither job security nor stable lifestyle. And, hey, it's just that guy who said, well, you need to speak a second language to get more jobs. Well, that guy and his colleagues will find that out rather depressingly when they're done with school, that jobs don't just create themselves. If you just acquire these skills, the jobs do not really follow. No, you have to focus on the number of jobs out there, and most of those are unskilled, then guess what? It won't make a damn bit of difference if you learn a second or third language. It won't mean anything to employers if you have skills that are needless, that are trivial for doing the many unskilled jobs for which they actually need people. Okay, going on here. Oh, Tom Johnson. Well, he's unlike that Jay Hudson hack who pretty much gave up trying to comment on WPR as soon as his side lost the spring elections. Tom Johnson held on. He's still whining, complaining, and caterwauling even after a November election in which Tom's side lost. Ron Johnson won U.S. Senate. Donald Trump won presidency. And Mike Pence won the vice presidency, but this Tom Johnson guy commenting in WPR comment section just keeps on railing futilely, even as I successfully rally support to hone down the higher education hucksters and make them accountable for occupational outcomes that are college graduates. So Tom Johnson was saying, you give them too little credit for acting responsibly. Well, I know you barely want to believe that teens cannot act maturely on their own. Well, my response to him was, hey, Tom Johnson, here's some critical thinking. You stereotype most adult politicians as immature. By what logic do you arrive at such a conclusion? Theory one, adult politicians are immature because immature people run for office. And despite the responsibilities of public service, they remain immature while in office due to their personalities. In other words, they refuse to change in response to environmental factors. Or, Tom Johnson, how about theory two? Adult politicians are immature because initially mature people run for office and become immature due to the environmental influence of being in office long enough for one's personality to change. Now, Tom Johnson, either logic precludes mild-mannered people from being politicians. It's kind of like a knight cannot be a knave and vice versa. So, this means a teenager's manners and decorum will deteriorate during the course of becoming and serving as a politician. You're essentially asking mild-mannered, deferential individuals to become self-absorbed, imposing officials. And that is but a textbook logical problem that is solved by concluding the person claiming whatever false equivalence is himself, in other words, Tom Johnson, is a knave. Boom. Sunned. Pwned. That describes Tom Johnson. Okay, so what's another good comment thread? Early April is just because it's so close to the spring election, it was just a gold mine of good comments. So, okay, statewide voter registration system crashes. Well, there's no good reason to lack a state issue ID. You need identification, you see payroll checks, you need it to open a bank account. And if you don't have a bank account, you still need an ID to get a payroll card. And if you work for cash, landlords generally demand to see identification of all tenants, including subletters. So you need to be quite stealthy to live without an ID, almost like a criminal on the lam. And especially if you're poor, you need a photo ID to receive Social Security income and our welfare. Boom. Okay. April 5th. Lots of stuff here. Going forward in time. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, here we go. Here's another funny thing about polling error, but I'll get back to that when I cover how the pollsters were wrong in their prognostications for November. Oh, yeah, so budget cuts already strained UW-Superior. On April 10th, WPR rebuttal commented, as far as UW-Superior's finances, if this various program graduates are doing well financially, like in terms of occupational prestige and their wage premium, then logically they would respond to news like this about their alma mater's deficit and chip in via alumni donations, logically. But because it is not happening in sufficient amounts, a reasonable observer might infer perhaps UW-Superior just hasn't been paying enough labor market value. Resumes. Question. To find out, we would really need a study about occupational outcomes for college graduates. Look it up, because I already have a petition asking this. Now, the information gleaned would be more valuable than administrative costs to obtain such data. And another funny observation I had made on the article was, for UW Board of Regents' own WPR to include a photo of an ironically empty student center, better than I would expect. It's more even-handed, although it's probably just a mistake on Wisconsin Public Radio's part. They probably weren't even thinking about it, but that solid humor is much appreciated. I mean, an empty student center being photographed and put up there about an article about UW-Superior having financial difficulties, yeah, close down the student center if you can't get the money to keep it open. Okay. Oh, yeah, so as I was saying earlier, the Lake Holcomb School District referendum succeeded, as did many other school district referenda. And WPR had an article about local school funding referendums. It's a huge success. And I wrote, of course, the school district residents don't want the entire district dissolved. Otherwise, it would mean transporting kids to more distal districts. And even the parents who let the buses take their children to school were lobbied by those children to not let their favorite district go under. It just so happens that a minimum funding baseline must be verified by auditors, okay? And if that baseline is established as a must-have amount of money, then people will generally vote to fund whatever is expected to maintain that service. They don't want to create a precedent where they're losing their local services. And no, they'd rather pay a little more instead of, like, move to get a better service. Oh, sale Milwaukee Journal Sentinel gets federal approval. Okay, so that was, okay. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, I essentially was analyzing how the Poynter Institute was saying the Gannon Company wants to acquire the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I was saying, what is it? Okay, so essentially, the Poynter Company was saying, the Poynter Institute, rather, was saying more content means more cross-promotion of such content. In other words, you hear people complaining about fragmentation of news media. Well, consolidation would help solve that, at least according to the Poynter Institute. But my rebuttal to the Poynter Institute was mutual exposure among formerly disparate news outlets results in a more immediate browse and find experience that could increase overall page views, but not necessarily shift political views. So it kind of depends. Like, you want to put more journalists out of business. We want to put more support staff out of business via consolidation. Then, hey, that's what you want to do, is you go and consolidate, such as by Gannett purchasing the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But Department of Justice approved that. It passed antitrust scrutiny, so it's a done deal. Okay, so Poynter Institute, second point. Larger single provider advertising can get you better results from common ownership of formerly fragmented properties. Okay, so unify advertising streams, in other words. Now, my analysis on that second point was scope of exposure at such a mega collection of internet properties is what makes online advertising profitable. Because with such small margins, such as by Google Ads, fragmented revenue streams don't give you enough by which to cash out. But lump them all together, then it's easier to cash out your ad revenue stream. Okay, so do we have anything from April going up here? Four findings. Yeah, I'll put more out there. That was a really good thread. Boom. Is there anything from May? I think in May, yeah, I went over King Shabazz and his arrest. That was ironic. Yeah, so I wasn't posting much in May because I was really busy with other things. And I got active again in June. Oh, yeah, where I showed how there's a diversity exemption to layoffs of unclassified personal staff. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Where someone doubted it, and I just proved them wrong. Sunned and pwned once again in the center of JPO. So, yeah, Eau Claire faculty and all the others, yeah, they jumped on a bandwagon, no confidence going to Ray Cross. I covered that pretty well. Essentially, UW Milwaukee's a little late to the party on that. UW colleges even voted no confidence, but it didn't matter. Ray Cross, UW system president, was maintained as the UW system president by the Board of Regents in clear defiance of the faculty senate, all approving no confidence. So hurrah for that. Yes. And in fact, it's just like they have to get real. They have to realize that the Board of Regents is beholden to the student consumers. So at any rate, that's a good wrap-up. And Senator JPO signing off.